It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
What to make of what some are calling this energy price shock? I'm David Brancaccio. First, the Federal Reserve is starting to wind down one of its pandemic strategies. The central bank has been buying at least $120 billion worth of bonds each month, which keeps the financial system flush. But now the Fed is getting more specific about slowly turning that program off. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer covered the Fed's briefing yesterday. First, what does the bond buying spree do for us?
Well, the Fed is sort of injecting money into the economy, and that makes it easier for people and businesses to borrow money, which they can then spend, fueling economic growth.
Why not keep doing this just in case?
Well, the Fed doesn't want to overheat the economy, especially since inflation is rising right now. And this is not a sudden thing. It's actually known as tapering. It'll be very gradual. The Fed will start trimming its bond buying by $15 billion a month beginning later this month.
I think history's a guide here, right, Nance? You and I were here together the last time.
Yes, we were. The Fed bought bonds to kickstart economic growth after the financial crisis. The Fed started tapering off that bond buying in 2014, but it went slower that time. I asked Chair Jerome Powell why the Fed is tapering faster this time. He said it's because the economy is so much stronger now than it was 7 years ago.
This is an economy where demand is very, very strong, and job openings substantially exceed the number of unemployed people. So the need for further stimulus is far less than it was.
And as I mentioned, inflation is running hotter this time. Normally, the Fed raises interest rates to cool the economy when inflation gets too high. But Chair Powell made it clear there won't be any interest rate hikes until the Fed is finished tapering its bond buying, which could be right around the start of next summer.
Okay, Nancy, thank you. Let's do the numbers. The NASDAQ future is up 0.4%. The Dow future down slightly 18 points. Interest rates down, actually, 1.58% for the 10-year one everyone watches.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
There's news that after years of trying to put the squeeze on oil and gas for energy, California this week could move to bulk up on its natural gas supplies to help power the state through the winter. It's a vote this week to put more gas into an underground storage site near L.A., which leaked for months about 6 years ago. Natural gas prices will run very high this winter across the country and the world, really, amid pandemic distortions. Extra demand for a fossil fuel, even as the UN climate change meeting goes on in Scotland now. Let's turn to Vijay Vaitheswaran, Global Energy and Climate Innovation Editor at The Economist magazine. Morning.
Hi there. Good to be with you again.
Prices for natural gas and crude oil are high. Government forecasters in the U.S. are warning people their heating bills could double or more this winter. What do you make of this energy shock, as you call it?
Well, there's two ways to look at this. The sort of long-term perspective is that, hey, prices go up, prices go down. The best cure for high prices is high prices, right? So we'll get a market response, we'll have substitution, we'll get additional investment, and eventually this problem will solve itself. That's true to some degree. But what's interesting here is this comes at a particular moment when we're also trying to grapple with the climate change problem. This could be seen as the first great energy shock of the energy transition.
I know. So right as the UN-sponsored meeting on climate change is going on in Scotland, some places in the world are stuck shifting back to more carbon dioxide-producing fossil fuel. Some might be, I don't know, tempted to say, we tried to go green too quickly, look what happened. But you're thinking the green investments maybe should have been bigger, faster, earlier?
So there's two schools of thought. And one is that, gosh, you know, we should have doubled down. We should have done much more on renewables than we did now. And that's why we're in this crunch. The other argument is that, no, we went too fast. We didn't invest enough in natural gas, for example, in Europe, where there's a shortage at the moment. My view is that, in fact, we do need to accelerate the energy transition, but we need to do it better. For example, market structure, the way that natural gas markets were reformed in Europe made them utterly reliant on short-term and spot markets, whereas previously they had had long-term contracts and hedging that was a better market design. And similarly, a shift to renewables, if you don't also have energy storage and upgrades to the grid to deal with intermittency and other kinds of backup power, I think that, you know, there has to be a holistic approach to the energy transition that hasn't always been pursued.
U.S. too, we have to work on buffers and stockpiles and do better planning for what happens when you get these crunches.
The best we can manage in terms of energy storage to compensate, batteries on the California grid can cover maybe 4 hours. We need days, maybe even between seasons, we need to have shifts in energy that's not yet viable on a large scale. The difference with the U.S. is that because we're energy self-sufficient, we're not reliant on, let's say, Vladimir Putin's Russia and Gazprom, as Europe is. But we're still going to have a lot of these problems, as we saw in Texas, for example, during that winter storm, when we saw terrible outages and lots of people suffering.
Vijay Vaitheswaran is Global Energy and Climate Innovation Editor at The Economist. You can read his piece, The First Big Energy Shock of the Green Era, in the magazine. Vijay, thanks.
Thank you.
Now, we keep reporting the chips are down. The microprocessor shortage that's causing long waits for cars, trucks, and so much else. Well, for chip maker Qualcomm, the chips are up, leading to news of record profits in its summer to fall quarter. The company's forecasts also assume the global smartphone market, which uses so many of its mobile chips, will stay strong into next year. Qualcomm investors are feeling chipper. The stock is up nearly 8% in pre-market trading right now. I'm David Brancaccio. It's Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.